This is lesson TBP number 6, and the title of this lesson is The Prayer of Faith, Part 5.
Why don't we spend a moment just, first of all, we'll pray, and then figuring out where we are in this whole thing. So just kind of, because sometimes you can get so deep in a point that you forget, where are we anyway? Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the mighty name of Jesus, Father. Father, we're just going to talk about prayer a little bit more tonight, and I just ask you through your Holy Spirit, Lord, to bring scriptures to our minds, Lord, and just anoint the word that's taught, Father, for we know fully well that we can do nothing without your help. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. What we've been talking about is the prayer of faith or the prayer of petition. Now, just to kind of locate this type of prayer, there's more than one type of prayer. I think we all know that. But we've been focusing on this prayer called the prayer of faith or the prayer of petition. Some of the other kinds of prayer are like the prayer of agreement, where two people get together. Matthew 18:19 is our scripture there. If two or more of you on earth shall agree in touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by their Father which is in heaven. That's the prayer of agreement. We're not talking about that tonight. There's a prayer of commitment. There's a prayer of consecration, a prayer in the Spirit, prayer of intercession, united prayer. There's several types of prayer. I only mention that tonight so that we can just focus on this one type of prayer, the prayer of petition or the prayer of faith, which is primarily a prayer for yourself, something you want, something you need, something where only your faith is involved. And our scripture that we've been going through on this prayer is Mark 11:24, where Jesus said, "Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall what? Have them." What things soever you desire, you pray, you believe, and you shall have. So it's for you. Five times there, Jesus said you. Now, okay, so we're talking about the prayer of faith. Let's just kind of review the steps that we had. A couple weeks ago, I handed out a little sheet that looked a little like this one here. And on that sheet, it says how to pray the prayer of faith, and it has different steps. And I'm just going to go briefly through those steps so you can see kind of where we are in those steps. First of all, you get ready to pray by finding the promise in God's Word that covers your situation. So a knowledge of God's Word is really required to pray the prayer of faith. Secondly, you meditate on the promise until you're sure that you can believe for what you're praying. All right? Third, you remove any blockages there might be, and we haven't talked about that in great detail. We'll get into that, but on this sheet it says, you know, blockages like unforgiveness, for example. That can block prayers being answered. Strife with your spouse or in your family or anyone really, but primarily in your family. That can block prayer for being answered. Peter said that in 1 Peter. He said, you know, you men, he says, don't be in strife with your spouses, lest your prayers be what? Hindered. Okay, so that can block prayer. Not tithing, for example, can be a blockage for prayer for finances, because tithing is a commandment of God. And not to tithe is breaking God's law. It's wrong. You know, the Bible says, Malachi 3:9 says, will a man rob God? And they said, what do you mean, God? We haven't robbed you. And he says, yes, you have. And how? They said, he said, in tithes and offerings. So, you know, if we're having financial problems, that's one scripture that needs to be obeyed. That could be a blockage. Okay, so then when you remove the blockages, you pray. And then the number five was, you believe you receive at the instant you pray. Remember our scripture is Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive, and then you shall have them. See, there's a time passage there. When you pray, believe, and then you shall have at some future point. Okay, so what we're talking about here is what it means to believe you receive when you pray. And we're using the same outline we had last Thursday. First of all, we talked about some of the things. We said, well, let's talk about what this means. And then I said, well, sometimes by showing what something is not, it becomes apparent what it is. Now, so we covered the first three things here. What believing you receive when you pray does not mean. Does not mean merely believing you will receive that for which you pray in the future. In other words, I've prayed and I believe I will get it. No, the word says, when you pray, believe you receive, and then you shall get it. You see the difference there? So some people say, well, I'm believing I will. But see, the things that you're praying for, if you've already found them in the Word, those things are already true in the Spirit. What you're doing through your prayer of faith is drawing those things that are already true, already yours in the Spirit, into the natural, physical realm where you can use them. So really specifically, when you pray for healing, for example, you say, I pray, I believe I will get healed. Well, that sounds like faith, but it's really not when you realize the fact that Jesus already purchased your healing. By Jesus' stripes, you were healed. Himself already took your infirmities and bare your sickness. He already redeemed you from the curse of the law. And in that curse was every sickness and every disease, even those, it says, not written in the book of the law. Deuteronomy 28:61. So you've already been redeemed from the curse. By Jesus' stripes, you were healed. Himself already took your infirmities and bare your sickness. Okay? So sometimes it's just a matter of claiming or believing for something that's already yours. That's all God's asking you to do. So you don't really have to pray, you will get healed. And I'm not trying to dwell on semantics too much, but sometimes these things help. I remember one day I didn't plan on getting to healing tonight, but I was meditating on this, and it felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And it was this. It was, you're not the heal of the sick trying to get healed so much as you are the healed whom Satan's trying to make sick. Does that make any sense? So when you begin to get these down in your spirit, you begin to pray a little differently about some of these things. Okay, so we said it does not mean just believing without praying. For example, sometimes you hear somebody say, I'm believing for a new car. And then if you ask them what scripture they're standing on, they might say, well, none in particular. I'm just believing for a new car. Well, did you pray? Well, no, I'm just believing. Well, that would be like me taking my Bible and setting it over there in that chair and leaving it there and saying to myself, I'm believing that somebody will bring my Bible up here. But wouldn't it be a lot easier if I just asked Russ to bring my Bible? You see, believe you receive when you pray. See, praying is still part of the equation. It may seem trite to say that, but sometimes, you know, we have to watch our semantics. I'm believing for something. Well, be sure you've prayed. That's all we're saying, okay? So tonight, we're ready for number D here. And I have down here, it does not mean doing your best to believe. Like, for example, God knows I'm doing my best to believe. I'll just pray and he'll understand. You know, it seems to me that there's a kind of a thing going on in the world today where everybody wants to do their best. I'm doing my best. But are we really? And what I mean is, for example, let's say we had a guy who was, Russ and I were talking before church about athletics and training and so forth and getting in condition. And while we were talking, it just occurred to me that, you know, if I really was trying out for the Olympic team, let's say I went to the qualifications. You know, before you be in the Olympics, you have to qualify, right? And I qualified for some event, let's say the 100-yard dash. All right, or 100-meter dash now, of course. When I was running sprints, it was a 100-yard dash. So let's say it's a 100-meter dash, and I qualify at the Olympics. Well, after I qualify, I quit training. I don't do anything. I just sort of sit around home, watch TV, eat whatever I want to eat, and then I go out the day of the Olympics and run my event after gaining 20 pounds, and I finish last. And I said, well, I did my best. Did I really? I may have done my best considering the lousy shape I was in, but it really wasn't my best, because to do your best, there's more involved than just doing your best at that instant. There's preparation involved, right? And it's the same way with prayer. You know, you can only go as far in prayer as your knowledge of the Word of God, because the only way you can really pray in faith is to know God, how it feels about that matter that you're praying for, right? I mean, how in the world can we ever pray in faith if there's a question mark in our mind how God, what his opinion is on the situation? Well, I'm just going to believe for $100 million or something like that. Well, you know, that's going to take a lot of faith to bring that in. Besides, what do you need it for? What are you going to do when you get it? See, and you better find some scripture that covers what you're praying for. Because without the Word of God as a foundation, you're never going to be able to generate the faith required to bring that thing from the spiritual realm into the natural. But once you've got God's opinion on something, this is my will for you, now you've got something that your faith can work on. Now, thank God, the big things in life are covered in the Bible. Healing is always ours. Always God's will to heal because He's already provided it, just like it's always God's will to save, right? He doesn't wish any to perish, but all to come to repentance and to a knowledge of the truth. Same way with healing. It's in the same package. It comes in the same package. Healing was in the atonement. You know, so many times we... Now that, to some people, especially if you get outside of our church here, will stop things right there. Because a large percentage of the body of Christ does not know that Jesus purchased their healing at the same time He shed His blood for their sin. Did you ever notice when you go to communion that you take not only the blood, the emblem of the blood, which is the grape juice, but you take a piece of bread, which is an emblem of what? His broken body. There's not just one thing we partake of there. There's two. Okay? Now, did you ever notice also the only time you'll ever see in the New Testament where a reason is given for sickness is back in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where it talks about not rightly discerning the body of Christ. And he says, for this cause, many of you are weak and sickly, and some sleep before their time or die before their time. Well, what does he mean by rightly discerning the body of Christ? Well, I think there's a kind of a double meaning. One is, we need to be walking in love, right? We need to rightly discern our brothers and sisters in Christ. But I think it's more than that. I think we need to rightly discern His broken body for our healing. And for this reason, because a lot of people don't, they're weak and sickly and die before their time. Because they don't realize See, even though God has provided things and they're free, they're not automatic. Did you ever realize that? They're free. All things are free. All His promises are yes and amen, it says in 2 Corinthians 1:20. But unless you know what those promises are and can appropriate them for yourself in faith, they may never be yours in actuality, even though they're yours legally. It'd be like somebody that comes to this country for another country, for example. And he comes over on the boat, and he comes into this country, and he settles down in his little apartment from, say, the Soviet Union or something when it was pretty much, even though the way it is today. And he doesn't realize all the rights and privileges he had. You can sit in your apartment for weeks and just, not realize there's parks, there's all kinds of things that in our country that you can do that are absolutely free. It's part of the game when you're over here. You get to enjoy those things. And I remember the story one time I heard a preacher tell about this guy that came over here on a ship from some country, and he said this was a true story. And this man saved up until he got passage on this ship. And all the way over, the seven-day trip, he stayed, you've heard this one, Matt, he stayed in his cabin and ate his cheese and crackers and all of that. When he finally got to the United States and he was leaving, the steward says, sir, could I just ask you a question? He says, sure, what is it? He says, I just noticed that the whole time over you never ate with the rest of the passengers. You always ate by yourself. And I did we offend you or something? If so, I'd like to apologize on behalf of our line here. Because he says, no, he says, I didn't have money for that passage. I only had money for the passage, not for the meals. And he says, sir, the meals were included in the price. See, so ignorance can be just as bad as anything else, not knowing what our rights and privileges are. Okay? And so doing your best to believe isn't enough. You have to know what God provided, and you have to prepare for it. See, it takes a little effort on our part. We have to learn the Word of God, know something about it. Now, God doesn't expect us to learn this overnight, but He does expect us to make steady progress. And when we're baby Christians, in the very beginning, God does some things for us that are just because we're new, we're babies. You know, just like you take your baby. You don't expect it to sit up and talk right away. You understand, it's a baby. But after a while, you expect that baby to grow up. And as it matures and as we hear more word, and we get more, we're responsible for more. And God expects us, there comes a time at which God expects us to act on our own faith, okay? And so doing your best to believe really implies, getting in the Word, finding out what these things are, what these promises are. You know, not just saying I'm doing my best and rushing in like a military. You wouldn't say a guy was doing his best if he just went off to fight. He never had any training. He didn't take a weapon. He just ran out into combat and says, I'm going to do my best, sir. You know, they jerk him off the field. Say, wait a minute, you haven't been through boot camp. You've never learned how to fire your weapon. You don't know anything about how to even load the weapon. You know, he's not really doing his best because he's in ignorance in part of it. And so it isn't just doing our best. The reason I say that is because this isn't in our body here, but I've seen it in other parts of the country, kind of a fatalistic attitude among Christians. That is, if God wants me to have something, he'll just do it. And if God doesn't do it in my life, he must not want me to have it. But that's not true, is it? I mean, if you took that to its extreme, you could say, well, if God wants to save me, he'll just do it. If he wants me to go to hell, I'll just go to hell. No, God's already sent his son, hasn't he? But he expects us to act on that, someone to tell us about that. See, everything that happens in this world isn't God's will. Do you know God can't do everything? He can't do anything. I mean, everything. You know, he can't sin, can he? He can't lie, can he? And he can't violate his own word. People, do you think God says it's not his will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance? But people go to hell every day, don't they? And Christians all the time are not receiving their best, not because God doesn't want them to have it, but because they don't know what their rights and privileges are. Okay, number E, it says, it also does not mean trying to find someone necessarily to pray for you. Now, I don't really have time to cover this in any detail, but before we go on, let me just say, usually, as we grow, God expects us to pray for ourselves. Now, let's just turn real quickly to 1 John. I just want to read you one scripture here, and then time's getting away from me here. 1 John chapter, or James chapter 5, I'm sorry. Verse 13, it says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Now, afflicted here means tested, tried. It's not sickness specifically, if you look up the Greek word. It means to be tried, to be tested, to be persecuted. Is it any of those things happening in your life? If so, let you pray. Pray. And is any merry? Let him sing psalms. When you want to praise God, you don't find someone else to praise God for you, do you? I don't go up to, you know, my wife and say, honey, you know, I just really feel I need to praise God. Would you praise God a couple hours today for me? And it's the same way with prayer. I mean, you know, when you're tested, I mean, when it's above your faith and ability to cope with, sure, come to somebody else. But God expects us to advance along to the point where most of these things, 90% of them, we can handle ourselves on our own faith. Okay, and I'll talk about this in more the next time. So this is just get you thinking a little bit. Now, there are exceptions. Baby Christians, being incapacitated, gifts of the Spirit in our operations, and we'll talk about that. But primarily, in general, as we mature as Christians, God expects us to pray for our own needs. Because after all, it's our faith he's looking at here, okay?
Now let's go over the homework for this lesson. First question, true or false? Mark 11:24 contains information we need to pray the prayer of faith for things we desire. Is this true or false? Well, this is an easy question, and the answer, of course, is true. Mark 11:24 is our text for the prayer of faith. And this is what Mark 11:24 says. Jesus said this now, so it's very important. When Jesus speaks, we need to listen. Okay, here's what it says. Mark 11:24. Therefore, Jesus said, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Contained in this scripture is everything you need to pray the prayer of faith. Okay, and what does he say? First, find out something you desire, then pray, and when you pray, believe that you receive it at that instant, and then you shall have it. Have the manifestation later. Believe you receive when you pray, and the manifestation will come later. So, the answer to this question is true. Mark 11:24 does contain the information we need to pray the prayer of faith for the things we desire. Next question, true or false? In praying the prayer of faith, the step which usually gives people the most difficulty is deciding what it is they desire. Is this true or false? Well, this is false, folks, as you know. That's the easiest part. It's not hard to figure out what it is you desire. the hard part usually, and it's not excessively hard. It's only hard sometimes because people try to do it before they're ready, and that is believing they receive when they pray. If there's a hard part in this verse, it's that. But this hard part becomes easy once we know what God's will is in the situation. Then we can believe that we receive when we pray. But if we don't know God's will in the situation, it's very difficult, even impossible to do. And we'll talk about this some more later. So the answer to this question, the way it's worded, is false. And it's false because people try to believe they receive when they pray, when they're not ready to pray. Many times we pray before we can do that, and that's a mistake. Next question, true or false? Sometimes by showing what something is not, it becomes more apparent what it really is. Is this true or false? Well, this is true, folks. Sometimes it's easier to show what something is by showing what it's not. Therefore, you get in your head, well, it's not that, it's not this. That eliminates some of the things it might be. I know this sounds a little confusing, but it's going to prepare us a little bit for the questions that are coming up, where we're going to show what something is not, so it becomes more apparent what this prayer of faith actually is. Next question, true or false? Believing you receive when you pray means believing you will receive that for which you've prayed. For example, in the area of healing, we might say, I know God will heal me someday. Is this true or false? Well, this is false, folks, and I want to explain this because it's a common misconception. It's false because if you think you're going to be healed, for example, in the area of healing, healed someday, we know the manifestation will come later, but a lot of people put the whole healing process off to the future, where God's word clearly says that by Jesus' stripes ye were healed, that Jesus already took your infirmities and bare your sicknesses. So you got to be careful a little bit here. Believing you receive when you pray means getting it settled in your heart now, even though the manifestation may come and will come a little bit later. Okay? So you got to be careful of this future believing business. You must believe you receive when you pray. All right? So it's not enough to say, I know I'll be healed someday. See, someday never comes. We got to get it settled in our heart now. And so that's why this question is false, the way it's worded. Next question, true or false? Sometimes it's not necessary to pray. We can just say, I'm believing for whatever it might be, and then put in what I'm believing for. Is that true or false? Well, that's false, folks. And the reason I bring this question in here is I hear people say this all the time. They say, well, I'm believing for, you know, and they substitute that for prayer sometimes. We need to pray. Remember this verse, Mark 11:24, our text verse, says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them. See, it's necessary to pray, okay? You don't just say, I'm believing for, and let it lay there. And maybe you've never heard this, but I've heard this many times, and it's something I just wanted to clear up. It's not enough just to say, I'm believing for blank, and fill in the blank, whatever it is. No, it's necessary to pray. We need to be specific with God. We need to decide what it is we desire, and then actually pray. And when we pray, we need to believe that it is settled at that instant. And you can only do this after you know what God's will is in the situation. And we'll talk about this a little bit later in the homework. Next question. I can prove to God I am believing for my healing by saying, I believe. See, I'm throwing away my medicine. Is this true or false? Well, this is false. That doesn't prove anything to God. It just proves that you're foolish. If you want to prove anything, it proves you're foolish. Don't do something like that. This is not what God expects to prove that you believe you receive when you pray. He knows when you believe, and you don't prove it to God by throwing away your medicine. Now, that's just exactly what the enemy tried to do to Jesus. Remember that? Remember when Jesus was being tempted in the desert, and he took Jesus up into the high top of a temple, and he said to Jesus, jump off, because the word of God says that the angels will bear you up, lest you should strike your foot against a stone. So he tempted Jesus to jump off the temple to prove the word of God was true. And Jesus said right back to him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And see, the enemy used a verse out of Psalms to try to get Jesus to tempt God the Father. But Jesus was too smart for him. He said, "It is also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." So we don't try to have to prove anything to God that we're believing for our healing by saying something like, or doing something like even, "I'm throwing away our medicine." It's just foolishness. You're falling into a trap of the enemy when you think that by throwing away your medicine, you're going to prove to God that you're believing for your healing. No, God knows when you believe, and you'll believe when you get that word of God about healing settled in your heart. That's why God gave us the Bible, isn't it? It's our faith producer. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So folks, don't fall into this trap of proving to God you're believing for your healing by saying something like, "Lord, I'm believing. See, I'm throwing away my medicine." That's foolishness, folks. That's not faith. That's why this question is false. Next question. Since God is fair, I'll just pray, do my best to believe when I pray, and he'll understand and answer my prayer. Is this true or false? Well, this is false. I put this in also because some people have this idea that because God is a good God and he's fair, that if we just do our very best to believe, that's enough. And folks, it's not enough. Believing is believing. It's not doing your best to believe. You just believe, okay? You have faith. You believe. And why and how can you believe? Because we have the Word of God settled in our heart. And the only way to do that is to know what the Word of God says about your situation and to believe it. And faith comes when you hear that word, so you can believe it. So don't fall into the trap, folks, of saying, "Well, God's a loving God, and I'll just pray and do my best to believe, and he'll understand and answer my prayer." That's a lazy man's prayer, and that's a dangerous prayer, because God clearly says in his word, it's faith that gets the job done. Okay, so don't fall into these little traps. You know, I've heard people say things like that. "Well, I just believe God's a loving God, and he's fair, and he knows my situation, and if he wants to heal me, he will, and if he doesn't, he won't." That's foolishness, folks. Don't fall into that trap. God has provided a way to get the faith you need to believe you receive when you pray, so use it. Next question. One good way to make sure I believe I receive when I pray is to get someone who is strong in faith to pray with me. Is this true or false? Well, this is false too. That won't make it sure. Just because the other person's believing, it's your faith and your desire that count with God, okay? And so let's be clear about this. It's many times tempting to get somebody we consider a strong Christian or that seems to have a good record for getting prayers answered to pray with us. And we try to shove off our faith onto them and say, "You believe for me." Kind of, even if we don't say it, it's kind of unconsciously. We're hoping that they believe because our faith is weak. And that won't work, folks. It's your faith and your desire that count. Now, there is the prayer of agreement where we get together with another person and agree. But even then, it's necessary for your faith to be active as well as the other person's faith. Now, I'm going to prove this to you. If you go back into Mark chapter 4, there's an interesting account of the woman with the issue of blood. And when she comes up to touch Jesus, she said to herself, she said, "When I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed." And she touched the hem of his garment, and at that instant, the blood that she had had for years dried up. And Jesus turned around and said, "Someone touched me, for I perceive virtue went out of me." And then the woman came up to Jesus, and he said, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole." In other words, this is a good example of what I'm talking about here. It wasn't Jesus' faith that healed this woman. He didn't even know she was around. And he was surprised when he felt the healing power go out of him. It was her faith that did it. So don't fall into the trap of trying to get someone else to pray with you who's strong in faith because you think their faith is going to put you over. No, God's not stupid. He knows you're the one that needs this answer to prayer. You're the one that has this desire. And it's your faith that's going to see it through, not the other person's faith. So get used to getting settled in your heart that you can pray for these things that for yourself on your own. You don't need somebody else to believe with you. If you want to get somebody to agree with you, that's fine, but you must agree as well, just as much as they do. So don't cast off your duty on someone else. Be sure before you pray that you have the faith and it's in line with your desire because that's what counts with God. Next question, true or false? Believing I receive when I pray means I believe I receive now when I pray. Is this true or false? Well, folks, this is true. And now, you don't believe that you actually have the thing in your hands, the manifestation, so to speak. You just believe it's settled right now. I believe I receive now. And folks, you can do this for healing, okay? You can do it for finances. You can do it for anything. Folks, this is the way you got saved, okay? You did exactly the same thing. And I'll talk about that a little bit more in the next questions. Next question. The only way I can do this, talking about believing I receive when I pray, is to know blank, blank for the thing I'm praying about. What goes in these two blanks? Well, the only way I can do this, that is, believing I receive when I pray, is to know God's will concerning the thing I'm praying about. So God's will goes in these two blanks. Next question. We'll talk a little bit more about this. God's will is revealed in God's blank, and all the promises in his blank have a blank answer. What goes in these blanks? The thing that goes in these blanks is revealed when I read this again. God's will is revealed in God's word, and all the promises in his word have a yes answer. So the thing that goes in these blanks is word, word, and yes. And what's the scripture, folks? I mean, you've heard this many times in these lessons that tells us this. Well, it's 2 Corinthians 1:20, which says, all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So, folks, God's will is revealed in God's word. That's why we need to get familiar with God's word. And all the promises in his word have a yes answer. That's a good thing to know. Next question. When I blank God's word, which is his will on a particular topic, it will produce the faith I need to receive. What goes in that blank? When I hear God's word, which is his will on a particular topic, it will produce the faith I need to receive. Now this hearing, if you actually go back to Romans 10:17, which contains this truth, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I believe those two hearings are in there. One of the reasons they're in there is because we need to hear it more than once. A lot of people think, well, if I'll get faith just by hearing it once, and that's enough. No, you need to hear it till it gets down in your spirit, folks. That's why it may be required to hear it more than once. But when you finally hear God's word, really hear it in your heart, which is his will on a particular topic, it then will produce the faith you need to receive the thing for which that word was speaking. Okay, so God's word comes on a particular topic, then you receive the faith to receive God's promise on that particular topic. Salvation faith produces salvation fruit. Healing faith produces healing fruit. Finances faith produces finances fruit. In other words, you need to hear the word on the very thing you need, okay? It doesn't do any good to receive finances by hearing salvation word, for example, okay? So I just put that out there because some people say things like this, and we've all heard this. Well, so-and-so was such a good Christian, and they were in church all the time, and they were such a loving person, and yet they died of some disease or something like that. Therefore, God must have not wanted to heal them. And folks, that's foolishness. That's not, God never wants, he wants us always to be healed. He doesn't want us to suffer with sickness and disease. He redeemed us from that. But see, even though that person might be a very loving person, they might have very good faith for salvation and other things, but if they don't know the truth and haven't heard the word on healing, things like that, by Jesus' stripes ye were healed, that Jesus took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses, their faith may be weak in that area. And therefore, they may not receive the healing that Jesus purchased for them. And so, folks, it's important that we have faith in the area that we're praying for. For example, if you're praying for finances, you need to have faith in that area. You need to build up your faith in that area by reading and hearing what the Word of God has to say about finances, that we need to be tithers. You know, if we are tithers, God's Word says he'll open the windows of heaven and pour out upon us such a blessing we won't have room to receive it. Okay? That's Malachi 3:10. All right? But we need to know that. We need to have that settled in our heart before we pray. And it's the same thing for healing or salvation or anything else. Okay, let's go on to the next question. When I blank on that faith by continually blank what the word says, I complete the faith equation. What goes in these blanks? When I act on that faith by continually speaking what the word says, I complete the faith equation. In other words, folks, it's necessary to not only believe something, but we must act on what we believe. Okay? If you've been in these classes very long, you know that one of my favorite things is James 2:17, where it says, faith without corresponding action is dead, being alone. I don't mean it's a favorite thing. I mean it's a favorite thing to know, because we need to know that faith without corresponding action won't work. We'll just have faith. We need to get results. We need to act on that faith. And when we have the faith and then act on our faith, that's when things begin to pop in our lives spiritually. So we need to act on our faith by continually speaking or acting on what the word says. And when we do that, we complete the faith equation. Next question, true or false? I've done this before successfully. It's the same way I received Jesus. I heard, I believed, I spoke, I settled it. Is this true or false? Well, folks, that's true. And I just want to point this out, that if you get too bogged down here and you think, well, how can I possibly do all these things? You know, believing I receive when I pray sounds so difficult. No, it's not. It's the same thing that you did when you got saved. Somebody told you what the Bible said about salvation. You heard it, you believed, and you acted on it. And you've been acting on it ever since. If someone says to you, are you saved? You say, yes, I am. I received Jesus. See? You do that unconsciously. Because why? You believe it. That's why. It's not as hard as it sounds. You need to just get it down in your heart. You need to hear that Jesus went to the cross. You need to hear that we need to believe that he rose from the dead, and believe that and confess him as your Lord. If you do these things, you're saved, all right? And you've done this successfully. You receive the faith to believe by hearing what Jesus did for you from somebody speaking to you the Word of God. That's faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And folks, all of you in this course are saved, because I've checked your applications when you signed up for this course. And you know, and if you're not saved, I come back and I ask you about this, and we get this thing settled. So folks, everyone in your course is saved, and you've exhibited faith in this area. You've acted on your faith. And so if somebody says to you, are you saved? You say, yes, I'm saved. Not I'm going to be saved, right? You believe you received it now. So you all done this before successfully. And folks, it's the same way we receive anything else. Remember Jesus said, he said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, whether it's salvation or something else, believe you receive it. If it's salvation, you believe you receive it now, and then you shall have it, the fruits of it, when you go to heaven. All right? And so you've already done this, and it wasn't difficult. Well, it's the same way we receive anything else. You get faith the same way for hearing the Word of God. Next question, true or false? When I believe I receive when I pray, I don't yet have the manifestation, but I can still believe I've received. Is this true or false? Well, this is true, folks. It's just what I was talking about. This is exactly what you did when you received Jesus, okay? You don't say, I'm going to be saved. You say, I am saved, don't you? Somebody says, are you saved? You say, well, no, not now, but I plan on being saved. No, you say you have it right now, right? So it's the same way with anything else. It's not so strange to say, are you healed? Yes, I'm healed. Well, you don't look healed. You know, you have a fever, you're not looking very good. How can you say you're healed? Well, it's the same way you say you're saved. Do you have the manifestation of your salvation yet? No, you haven't gone to heaven yet, have you? But you know that you are saved. You know that it's all taken care of. It's settled in your heart. And it's the same way with healing or finances or anything else. Get it settled in your heart. How do I get it settled in my heart? By knowing what the Word of God says about your situation, and confessing it and acting on it. Folks, you can be just as healed with a fever as you can be saved before you go to heaven. All right? And that's the best way I can say it. Next question. Since it's necessary to believe I receive when I pray, it means some preparation may be necessary beforehand. Is this true or false? Well, that's true, folks. Because it's necessary to believe you receive when you pray, you may need to get that word settled in your heart before you pray. Some people are too quick to pray, and that's a mistake, folks. We need to pray when we're sure that we can believe that we receive when we pray. Okay? That's necessary to do when you pray. Not later at some point, but when you pray. And it may take some preparation to get to that point. And I have a whole series on healing that I think it's 16 lessons long. It's a long series. In fact, there's two volumes to that series. And in there, I spend the whole, I think 15 of the 16 lessons or something like that, getting ready to pray. Getting to the point where you can believe that you receive for your healing at the instant you pray. So folks, there's preparation required to get your heart to the point that you can believe you receive when you pray. You don't just use your willpower and say, well, the Bible says here that if I'm going to pray, I need to believe I receive. I'll just get my faith all strong here, and I'm just going to believe when I pray. No, that's not the way you do it, folks. It's not struggling to have faith. It's hearing God's word and getting God's word established in your heart to the point where believing that you receive when you pray is the most natural thing in the world. Next question. It means preparing to pray by, and when I say it means preparing to pray by, I mean believing I receive when I pray, means preparing to pray by blank on the portions of God's word that cover the thing I desire, and then continuing to do so until the yes prayer answer is blank in my heart. What goes in these blanks? Well, listen, and I'll fill in these blanks. And this is a truth about praying the prayer of faith. Believing I receive when I pray means preparing to pray by meditating on the portions of God's word that cover the things I desire, and then continuing to do so until the yes answer is settled in my heart. That's the way you get ready to pray the prayer of faith, folks. You need to find the word that covers your situation, whether it's healing, finances, or whatever it might be, salvation for the ones that need salvation, and then thinking and meditating on the portions of God's word that cover this area. And then continuing to do that, meditating in these areas, until the yes answer for that promise is settled in your heart. Then you're ready to pray. Next question. When the yes answer becomes settled in my heart and agrees with God's word, I have the faith I need to pray. Is this true or false? That's true, folks. When you get that yes answer for whatever it is you're going to pray about settled in your heart and it agrees with God's word, then at that point you have the faith you need to pray. That's true. To reach this state, I must be teachable, so that what God's word says takes precedence over past experiences and teachings that contradict this word. Is this true or false? Well, folks, this is true. To reach this state, it's very necessary for us to be teachable, because that's what this whole school is about, as a matter of fact, is the people I have in this school are teachable because they signed up for it on their own free will. Wasn't something that they were coerced into or anything else. And so these people, by definition, must be teachable or they're not going to hang with it very long. So to reach this state, it's necessary for us to be teachable so that God's word then takes precedence over past experiences. Now, there's two things you can do when you hear something in God's word that goes against what you learned earlier in your life. You can reject the word of God and say, I'm not going to go along with that. That doesn't match up with my experience. Or you can say, well, maybe my experience, what I thought from that experience is wrong. And then become teachable and let that word replace what you thought was true before with the truth of God's word. Folks, the thing people make the mistake of doing sometimes is they're trying to use their experiences to interpret God's word rather than using God's word to interpret their experiences. There's a difference there, folks. It means putting God's word in first place, like Proverbs 4:20 says, my son, attend to my words. That means put them in first place. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from before thine eyes, but keep them in the midst of, the, of your heart. And if you do that, they're life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Next question. This may be why young people many times can believe more quickly than older people, talking about believing God's word. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about being teachable so that God's word takes precedence over past experiences and teachings that contradict this word. And we're asking here in this question, this may be why young people many times can believe more quickly than older people. In other words, they have fewer past experiences and teachings that contradict God's word. Is this true or false? Well, folks, this is true. It's not always true, but it's often true. I've noticed that older people especially seem to have a tougher time sometimes of allowing the truth in God's word to replace what they considered the truth of their experience. Young people seem to be more open to new things, and I think it's a couple of reasons. One is their personalities and are geared that way to receive new things and new ideas. And another thing is they don't have as much of past experience as an older person does to replace when they hear something new. So it's kind of interesting, I think, that young people many times are much quicker to latch on to something in God's word and run with it than an older person. Now, this is not always true. Sometimes older people hear something and they go just as they hear it and they react just as quickly as a younger person. But I'd say on average, this is not true. On average, I'd say young people tend to believe more quickly than older people do. And I think it's because of this fact that they're just predisposed this way since they are young and they're open to new ideas. And also because they don't have as many things to unlearn as older people do. So anyway, this is just an interesting observation, not necessarily a theological truth or anything, but just kind of, as a teacher, I notice this sometimes, that sometimes older people aren't as open to God's word as a younger person might be. Not always, but sometimes. To pray the prayer of faith, that is necessary to be like blank, fully persuaded that what God has promised, he's able also to perform. And I want the scripture. Okay, who is it that was like that, fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was also able to perform? Well, I think you all know that Abraham goes in this blank. It's necessary to be like Abraham, if we're going to pray the prayer of faith, to be fully persuaded that what God has promised, he's able also to perform. And the scripture is Romans 4:21. Folks, if we're fully persuaded that what God has promised, he's able to perform in the area that we're getting ready to pray about, it's easy to believe we receive when we pray. That's really what it means to be ready to pray the prayer of faith, to be fully persuaded that what God has promised in his word, he's able also to perform and will perform. That's the thing we get settled in our heart before we pray the prayer of faith. That's the thing we get settled in our heart, to be able to believe we receive when we pray. Next question. When I'm ready to pray the prayer of faith, I will have entered into rest and peace in my heart about that matter. Is that true or false? Well, that's true, folks. When we're ready to pray the prayer of faith, we will have come to a point that we've entered into rest and peace in our hearts about the matter we're getting ready to pray about. That's true. Now, folks, let me point something else out here. It's not necessarily in your mind you're going to have this settled. Negative thoughts may come from time to time after you've prayed, but you just cast them down. It's okay to have negative thoughts to a limited extent. Let me explain. Negative thoughts do not negate the fact that you believed you received in your heart when you prayed, but they can be the precursor to changing your confession after you've prayed. For example, let's say that at the time I prayed for healing, I got it settled in my heart that by Jesus' stripes I was healed, that Jesus took my infirmities and he bare my sickness, and Jesus redeemed me from the curse of the law. And every sickness and every disease were in that curse, and therefore I'm redeemed from them. We got that settled in our heart, and we prayed, and we truly believed in our heart that we received when we prayed. So far, so good. Now, time passes between the time that we pray this prayer and when the manifestation actually comes. In other words, that healing is actually manifested in our body. Okay, so during that time, negative thoughts may come. And that's okay. That doesn't negate our prayer. But we have to be careful, because if we give voice to those negative thoughts and believe in those negative thoughts and begin to speak them, then that can stop the manifestation from occurring. Okay, so we have to be careful about these negative thoughts. The thoughts in themselves have no power, but it's what we do with those thoughts that may have power. If we give voice to those thoughts, then we can negate our prayer. And we have to then repent of that and to get that faith working again by saying, Father, I'm sorry, for I said something that I don't really believe there, and I just want to repent of that, and I want to tell you that I do believe I receive when I pray, and I do believe that Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sickness, and get that faith working again. Get that switch of faith turned back on. So if I bring this up, this question, to show that it's necessary to believe in our heart when we pray, not our mind. Okay, but be careful with that mind, because if we give voice to those thoughts in our mind, that can mess up things that we've already prayed about. I think I've said it this as clearly as I can. Next question. After I've prayed, I must maintain a confession and action that reinforce the fact that I believed when I prayed. Is this true or false? Well, this is absolutely true, folks. Faith without corresponding actions is dead, being alone. Remember James 2:17. So it's necessary to have both. We need to have the faith, yes, when we pray, but then between the time we pray and the time that our answer is actually manifested, we need to have the corresponding action of maintaining confession and actions that reinforce what we originally believed when we prayed. Now, if this shouldn't sound be too difficult, folks, don't let it throw you, okay? This shouldn't be too difficult. If it is, then it's a danger sign. For example, let me give you a silly example, but I think it'll illustrate what I mean. For example, if I really love my wife, all right, I don't have to be careful I don't say I hate my wife, do I? No, it's the most natural thing in the world to say I love my wife and to say and do loving things for her. All right? So if it becomes difficult for you to confess and act on the thing that you believe you receive when you pray, one of two things may be true. Maybe you didn't believe you received when you prayed, or you better be careful, because that faith that you exhibited when you prayed is starting to wane, sort of like Peter when he got out of the boat. He had strong faith. He got out of the boat and he walked on the water. And then he started looking at the circumstances and the height of the waves and listening to the wind whistle. And he got his eyes off of Jesus and on those circumstances, and he began to sink. Well, this can happen to us too. So after we've prayed, it's necessary to maintain a confession and actions that correspond and reinforce the fact that you believed you received when you prayed. Okay? So you're not done once you've prayed. You have to maintain that belief and the corresponding actions until the manifestation actually comes into being. Now, this is not difficult if we truly believed we received when you prayed. For example, let me give you another example. When you believed in your salvation and you heard God's word on salvation and you acted on that and confessed Jesus is your Lord, well, you didn't go to heaven at that instant. That's still coming up for everybody that's listening to this lesson. That hasn't happened yet. Okay, so is it hard for you during this time that you're waiting to go to heaven from the time that you originally prayed the prayer of salvation? Is it hard to believe that's going to take place? No. You know you're saved. You have that presence of the Holy Spirit in your heart bearing witness to the fact that you're saved. Okay, so it's the same way with anything else. Don't make it harder than it really is. When you truly believe that you've received something because God's word promises it, it shouldn't be difficult to continue believing while you're waiting for the final manifestation. So I just wanted to say that so that you don't get in your idea that the things I'm talking about in this lesson are really difficult to do. They're not. It's the most natural thing in the world to have confessions that line up with your original belief if you truly believe these things. It's natural, okay? You don't have to wander around not saying, I've got to be careful today. I don't say I'm not saved. No, you don't have to be careful. You know you are saved. So it's the most natural thing in the world to say you are if someone asks you. Okay, let's go on to now to the last question. Really, to pray the prayer of faith, I just need to follow the same steps I followed in getting saved. Is this true or false? Well, it's true, folks, and I just wanted to leave you with this question. It's the simple thing, simplest thing in the world, just like when you got saved. You need to follow the same steps for anything else that you pray for. You need to hear the truth in the area of prayer interest. You need to believe what you've heard. You need to continue to act on it until the manifestation actually comes, and then the manifestation will eventually come. So praying the prayer of faith for anything you need is simply the same as doing what you did when you got saved. You heard the word. You chose to believe that word. You acted on that word by confessing Jesus as your Lord. And that manifestation of what you believed the day you prayed will eventually take place in your life when you pass from this earth and go to spend eternity with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in heaven. That then completes the homework for this lesson.